be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want to look at the simple thought here out of Mark chapter number 2 on just get him to Jesus. Just get him to Jesus. As I said in our text today, we have a man that had a need that only Jesus could meet. But also in the story this morning, we also have some men that cared enough for the sick man to get him to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, may you and I that are saved this morning learn some things from this great passage, and that we would have a greater desire to get some men, women, boys, and girls to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you're here today without Christ, I want you to know the number one goal this morning is to get you to see your need this morning of coming to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We have in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 23, we have the verse of Scripture that says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." And so we have a responsibility this morning for those that are saved by the good grace of God. And so today we need to get folks to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the demonstration this morning and through the story that we have before us, I pray again that God would help us to see that we all have a part, that we have a responsibility, certainly to get out the good news of the gospel. I'm glad the good news of the gospel, I'm glad it still worked this morning. If we can just get them from this point over to this point and get them to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad Christ can do a work in their heart and in their life. Now we see this morning, first of all, before we get too far along in the story, I want you to notice our first point today, and it's just simply this. I want you to know that notice that there was a man in a predicament. Now the Bible says that he had the palsy, and now if you'll study about palsy, you'll find, of course, in certainly in this day, in the Bible day, and certainly even in today, you'll find certainly a lot of different things about palsy. There could be partial paralysis, they could be full paralysis, and you'll also find a lot of times it was something that happened during birth. You'll find that it was something they was born with, or something an individual got to during, or something happened, and certainly it brought something upon them during birth. And so this morning I want you to see the man in the predicament, and you say, "Preacher, that's not got anything in the world to do with me." Well, I want you to notice something this morning in the story. I believe it's a type of each and every one of us here this morning. I want you to know that there was a time that each of us was in a predicament. We was in a place where we were paralyzed as far as spiritual things are concerned, and we needed to get from this point where we was paralyzed to get to this point to where we could get to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see that there was a man in a predicament. We see him here before us this day as Scotty here is playing the part of the man with the palsy. We see before us today a man that needed some help. Can I say this morning, as we look out across this world, as we look out across our families, as we look out across our communities this morning, and as I look out across this congregation, there's probably no doubt this morning there's some folks that needs to get over to here, because you need some help that only God can meet. But could I say this morning, hallelujah, I'm glad there's a God in heaven today, hallelujah, and I'm glad his name is Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, he's still available. I understand this was something that happened physically that they could see with their eyes. I'm telling you, by the eye of faith, I'm glad one day, even though I was in a predicament, I'm glad, thank God, I made my way, hallelujah, to Calvary and called upon the Lord Jesus. I'm glad he done in my life what nobody else could, what nothing else could. I'm glad this morning, hallelujah, I got from that place of being a paralytic, hallelujah, to that place, hallelujah, where I trusted in Christ as my Savior. I was in a predicament. Friend, I want you to know this morning, without Jesus, you are in a predicament. You are in a dilemma. You need some help. I'm glad there's somebody. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's somebody that can and will help you. And you'll notice in the story there were all kinds of obstacles that were in the way. But boy, I'm damn glad there was some men there that day, Brother Scotty, that was concerned enough about this man that needed help from the Lord, that they was going to do their part. Hallelujah, to get him to the place, hallelujah, where he could get touched by the Master. We have a man in a predicament. He's needing help. We see again that predicament, that being that palsy. A predicament this morning is something, as far as being defined, is something that is difficult, it's unpleasant, or embarrassing. It's an embarrassing situation, or as we say it, a dilemma. And as I said, the man in the predicament, the man with the palsy, is a type of the sinner. As you and I that are saved this morning was one time in that same predicament. We could not help ourselves. We could not save ourselves. We could not heal ourselves. We had to get to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all this morning, this man in this predicament, as we said, is a type of the sinner. We all have that sin nature. And with the sin nature comes sin consequences. Listen to me. I think about this poor old fellow as he's laying over here. I'm thinking about him right now. I want you to go in the story with me. If somebody doesn't help him, if somebody doesn't come to the rescue, if somebody, hallelujah, don't encourage him and get him to this place, he's going to die in that condition. That's what this predicament will do to you and I this morning, friend. We have this sin predicament, and unless we can get to Christ, I'm telling you, we're going to die. Oh, my soul, friend, think about the people that are dying and perishing every day in the predicament that they're in simply because of sin and its consequences this morning. I'm glad, thank God, there is a remedy. Oh, if we could just get up, if we could just get them to Jesus this morning, make all the difference in the world. So here's this man. He's in a predicament. Now, Jesus is just not far away in the house. And I thought about these four men. As the story ended with Scotty's predicament this morning, it'd be a sad story. Could I say today that people's lives are ending every day in that condition? And friend, if you keep going on the way that you're going, in the predicament that you're in, if something doesn't happen, you're going to die in that predicament. But friend, you don't have to. Hallelujah! You don't have to. What we want to do this morning is get you to Jesus. What we want to do is we live our lives out each and every day as God-fearing, God-believing people. It's to somehow get them from here to here. And we all have a responsibility in it. So we have the man's predicament. But again, that's not the end of the story. Not only do I see the man's predicament, but I see, secondly, this morning, men who were willing to get personally involved. I just wonder in the congregation this morning if I'd have four men that would get personally involved in getting this poor man in this predicament, in this dilemma that he's in. I just wonder this morning, hallelujah, I've got three. I believe a C4. I've got five. Hallelujah. Praise God, it'd be all right. This morning, if we had, there ought to have been a lot of people standing up. You say, preacher, you're just doing a demonstration. If we could get a hold of it this morning, church, and see that we have a responsibility in getting this man to Jesus. Now, you boys get his bed rolled out there. Just stand there for a minute. We have the man's predicament, but then we have these four men that sees his predicament, and they are so interested in getting him to hear, hallelujah, that they say, you know what? I think I'll get personally involved in getting this. Now, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us in all three of the accounts, we don't know if this man with the palsy was a family member. We don't know. Was he a family member of one of these men? We don't know. In the case today, as far as I know, nobody's kin. So it could have been a family member. It could have been just a man there in the community. Most likely, this man in the predicament with the palsy, see, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't make a living. I mean, he's in a pitiful condition. I mean, he was avoided. I mean, people didn't want to have anything to do with him. They might throw him a little crumb now and then, but back in these days, you were looked at as an outcast and looked down upon if you had these kind of diseases. Hallelujah, there was some men that says, you know what? I'm concerned. They might have passed by his way there for several days. You know, somebody said, you know that guy Jesus over there? Oh, my soul. Hallelujah. I believe all four of the men had had a personal encounter. This was in the early part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, but somewhere the Bible doesn't say. But I truly believe they'd had an encounter with this man Jesus. And they see this poor old man over here, and they said, you know what? I believe we'll just get personally involved. I believe if we could get him to the one that we've already met, if we could just get him to Jesus, I believe Jesus could do something for our friend. Amen. He might have been a family member, might have been a friend, a man in the community. But I want you to see this. They were willing to get personally involved in getting him from point A to point B to where he needed to be. Now let me give you some things about this personal involvement that I want you to see. You hang with me. I want you to notice in their personal involvement, as I've already said, they realized this man's dilemma. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that we're realizing man's dilemma this morning. Maybe this simple illustration will help you to better understand the dilemma that mankind is in. He's lost. He can't save himself. He needs somebody to get personally involved to see the dilemma. The Bible says something like this, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." I believe Jeremiah said that, did he not? He says, "My eye affecteth my heart." And so evidently, these old boys see the situation. And so they get personally involved. Too many people today say this, "I don't want to get involved." Hello, I'm preaching to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church this morning, and for you folks that are visiting with us, you just hang on. I just don't want to get involved. Boy, I'm sure glad somebody got involved with me one time. I'm glad somebody cared enough for me. I'm glad somebody seen my dilemma. I'm glad somebody cared enough to say, if we can get him from here, if we can get him to Jesus, hallelujah, thank God, something good can take place. God can take care of the need that he has. I'm afraid this morning we're not seeing the dilemma. Man's perishing without God all around us. We have opportunities after opportunities after opportunities. You boys all right? We have opportunities after opportunities. And it's like pulling hen's teeth to get anybody to do anything. God help us. I'm glad 2,000 plus years ago there was a man named Jesus that seen my dilemma. And I'm glad even though they tried to stop him, even though they tried to do everything they could to discredit him, I'm glad, thank God, he went all the way. Hallelujah. Marched up Calvary's hill and paid a sin debt that I could not pay, so that I and you and the world could be redeemed by the good grace of God this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody saw my dilemma. Somebody got personally involved. Notice, y'all just hang on a while. I'm having a good time. We see the man in the predicament, but we see men who got personally involved. They realized his dilemma. But not only did they realize his dilemma, but they had a decision in which to react. They didn't only... Poor old Scotty. Maybe somebody will come by sometime or another and help him. I'll tell you what, Scotty, we're going to pray for you.
That's right.
We're going to pray for you. Boy, I sure hope and pray everything works out okay. Prayer's good. But praise God, sometimes it's time to put some legs on some prayers. It's time, hallelujah, to go into action. We like to talk about it. But I'll tell you what, when it comes down to making a decision, you know what? We're just going to go with it. We're going to get involved. We're going to do something. So the men get personally involved. They see his dilemma. The decision to react. And let me say, not to delay. Jesus was not going to be over here at Capernaum in the house. But just a little while. What are you saying, preacher? The time to react is now. The Bible says something like this. Today is the day of salvation. So not only do they get personally involved in a personal involvement, do they see the dilemma, do they have the decision to react? They had the... I want you to see, thirdly, their determination. They weren't going to let nothing stop them. Over here where Jesus is, now just... I could take half the congregation and put them right over in here. And that's probably about what we're looking at. I mean, they were all around Jesus. They seen his dilemma. They were determined in their decision, whatever it takes to get him from where he is to where Jesus is, we're willing to do it. They weren't worried about the rest of the crowd talking about him. Whoop! They wasn't worried about forming a committee to talk about it, to discuss whether or not it was even feasible or not to get this for. They didn't have to form a committee to see whether he was worth it. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God. They just knew that they had to get this man to Jesus. So we see the man in his dilemma. I got to hurry. I ain't even got started good yet. We see the men that get personally involved. But then I want you to notice, thirdly, the men not only get personally involved, but they get physically involved. They put legs on their prayers. They're going to do something about the situation. So boys, put your bed down and get involved physically. We've got to get this man, Scotty, with the palsy, we've got to get him from here over to here. They get physically involved. First of all, in their physical involvement, I want you to notice their burden. Their burden. They physically, now this man probably was most likely already on his bed, very possible. Now he might not have been, but most possibility he was already on the bed. All right, boys, just I want you to pick him up and hold him out for just a minute. I got some more preaching to do. If he gets too heavy, let him down. Easy. I want you to see something here. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But this old boy right here had to put full confidence and trust in these boys right here. He might have heard of Jesus, but he'd never got to Jesus. But we had some men that was concerned enough to get him there. You getting heavy, boys? Good. Hallelujah. Men who got physically involved. I want you to notice in their involvement, number one, their burden. They physically got a hold of their corner of his bed and carried him to Jesus. You'd say, well, preacher, two men could have probably done that. They probably could have. But we have four men that are willing to get involved and get their corner of this bed and get this man. Listen, it's a burden. Would you say it's a burden, boys? Would you say it's heavy? Would you say it's physically taxing this morning? Oh, yes, it was. But listen, that didn't matter. Hallelujah. Their goal was to get Scotty with the palsy to Jesus. I want you boys to start that way.
This way.
Go that way. I wonder, is there anybody back there that cares enough about getting this man to Jesus that would open those doors, the gate to the city there, and let those boys out? Is there somebody on this side that would care enough about Scotty and getting this man to Jesus that would open those doors, hallelujah, hallelujah this morning, and get him to Jesus? Oh, yes, it was involvement. Everybody ought to get involved. Everybody ought to do their part. Everybody ought to get their corner of the bed. And get this man to Jesus. They not only, hallelujah, this morning got personally involved, they got physically involved. They done something. I want you to notice not only their burden, but I want you to notice there was no barriers too strong. Now there was a whole crowd here. Now what you gonna do? Get out of the way. We got to get this man to Jesus.
Get rid of the crowd. Don't make a step. We got to get him there.
Watch him now. There's no barriers. The crowd's all around. So they go up to the roof. What's the Bible say? Just bring him on here and set him down. I know you boys are getting tired. God's work's tiring sometimes. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it in just a little while. All right, you boys just stay up here on the stage somewhere. Find you a good resting place. There's no barriers. The Bible says they begin to break up the roof because the crowd was so great around this man named Jesus that they couldn't get him in the door. But they got him to the door. Hallelujah. Somebody will get that after a while. They got physically involved. If we're going to be soul winners, if we're going to fill this church up, if we're going to go out and get kids for Bible school. Amen. Somebody's going to have to put some shoe leather together with the pavement and get busy. But I go back to one of my first points. We're not seeing the dilemma. But here's the dilemma. Here he sits before us. They've got him from point A to where he had no hope to a place where they went through all kinds of obstacles. Literally tore the roof. Now, I understand the roofs back in that day in this part of the world are not like our roofs today. But could I say I believe that's what it took? I believe they'd have done it because they got personally involved. They got physically involved. Not only that, we see his dilemma, that we see their personal involvement, their physical involvement. But then I want you to notice fourthly this morning that these men were in a partnership. Do you notice how they worked together. Now let's just suppose. Now I'm not going to have you boys to pick him back up again. But let's just suppose for a moment that who was in front there? Which, Brother Keith and Brother Farrell was in front. Now let's just suppose that Brother Farrell said, I'll tell you what, let's go this way. Brother Keith said, no, let's go this way. Well, you got another dilemma. But do you notice something? Them boys got their corner of that bed, and they walked in unison. There was a partnership. They were in unity. They were working together. And then notice we had some folks that was concerned enough that they opened the doors, or if you want to, in this case, the gates, so that they could get through. It took people working together, not working against one another, not working against the cause. This poor man needs to get to Jesus. And I see too many church people today, and too many church folk that are more interested in what they want, doing it their way, going their way, having their way, rather than working together with the people that God's put them with. Hey, man. God's give you a people to worship with, to work with, to win souls with. There's your three-point message, and I don't even have it wrote down. Thank God if we just work together this morning. Amen. So we see his dilemma. We see they personally get involved, they physically get involved, and that we see that there was a partnership. Let me give you three things about the partnership. And we'll get down to the last part of the story. Well, this has went rather well. Faster than I anticipated. Of course, I ain't done yet. In this partnership, I think, number one, they were men of prayer. Preacher, the Bible doesn't say anything about them being men of prayer. Well, if they were God-fearing men, and I believe they were, if they knew the Master, and I just personally believe they did, then I believe the first step in getting someone to this point, to that point, is number one, to be men and women of prayer. Because listen to me this morning, we'll never have the burden to see the dilemma, to get personally involved, to get physically involved, until we pray and seek God and get direction from Him. So I believe in their partnership, in their unity, they were men of prayer. But not only do I believe they were men of prayer, but I also believe this morning that they were men with a plan. The reason a lot of us are not doing anything for God this morning is we don't have a plan to do anything for God. I'm still preaching. Don't die on me. They didn't have, if they hadn't had a plan, poor old Scotty with a palsy would still be sitting here. Not only were they men of prayer, but they were men with a plan. What was their plan, preacher? To get him from here to get him to here. You know what our plan ought to be this morning? The very same thing. Is to get folks that are in that personal dilemma, to get them from that place to get them to Jesus. Well, preacher, if they're going to be saved, they'll be saved. No. Listen, what has God called us to do? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's calling on us to get involved. If you've been here for over the last several weeks, I've talked about God's called us to be fishers of men. He's called us to be salt of the earth. And if the Lord helps me tonight to tie all this together, He's called us to be the light of the world. Now, we can sit back on our haunches if we want to. But I'll tell you what, God's not pleased with me, and God's not pleased with you, and God's not pleased with any church that just sits back and lets the world go by without a plan. We need to be men of prayer. I believe these men were men of prayer. They were men that had a plan. But then thirdly, in their partnership, I want you to notice something else here. They were men that had a purpose. And that purpose was to get the man with a palsy from where he was to where somebody could help him. I want you to get this, and I want you to get it real good this morning. The purpose of these men grabbing their corner of that bed and getting the man with the palsy to Jesus was not so somebody would come by and pat them on the back. It wasn't so that the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem could get up and say, I want to recognize four men in our congregation today. Hey, man. It wasn't a bit about these old boys. Preacher, how do you know that? Because they accomplished what God had put before them to do without any recognition from anyone. But God thought enough about it that He wrote it down so that you and I could get a hold of it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about singing the best. It's not about preaching the best. It's not about being the best Sunday school teacher, which we ought to do the best that we can. But it's about the purpose of getting people from point A to point B. They had a plan, they had a purpose. I want you to notice last in the story, not only do we see the man with a personal dilemma, the men who get personally involved, the men who get physically involved, the men who form a partnership, and the partnership is simply unity, a fellowship of working together. But last in the story this morning, I want you to see the power of faith. I want you to see the power of faith. Now, do you notice in the verses that I read, until you're hearing. See, there's two different kinds of faith exercised in the story. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Notice, their faith got him to Jesus. Right? Their faith, let me... You're not getting it. I'm losing you. Their faith and the efforts that they put forth working together, their faith got him to Jesus. Their hands are free. Congratulations, man. Hallelujah. Congratulations. You got him to Jesus. You had enough faith to face the obstacles, to go through the doors, to go through the gate. You done whatever you needed to do. Believing when you got him there. Whoop! Some of you not getting it. Believing when you got him there that something good's going to take place. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying let's just get him here. Oh, dear Lord in heaven, if we could just get them here. Hallelujah, sing to them and preach to them and love on them. And let them see our faith and our willingness to get them to this place. Amen. They might have some faith to get the rest of their need met. Amen. See, somebody's looking for our faith. Hello. Now don't let me have to do my own amen in too. It takes longer. You ought to be awful glad this morning that somebody by their faith was willing to get you to a place where you could exercise some faith. If somebody had not cared for me, if somebody had not cared for you, sometimes it's just as simple, why don't you come to church? Well, preacher, I've asked them. Why don't you ask them again? Why don't you go across the street where them little old young'uns is at and don't go to church? I'm telling you this morning, if we get some people interested in this church or going out and getting some young'uns, getting some elderly people, listen, whatever we got to get, whatever we got to do, whatever resources that we need to use, It's sounding empty in here. Whatever resources we need to use, go out and get them for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You boys all right? How about you, man, with the palsy? Are you all right? Man, they've got you to a good place now. They've got you to a great place. While you was over there, no help. Think about all the people that passed by you. We'll pray for him. We might even throw him a little crumb once in a while. Somebody might even drive by and give him a Bojangles biscuit once in a while. A piece of one that was laying in the floorboard of the car had been there for 2 or 3 days. And hope you get out of the dilemma that you're in. He'd have died before they found him. He'd have died before they found him. But their faith, hallelujah. Preacher, does that mean everybody, we invite everybody we go to get, does that mean everybody's going to come, everybody's going to get saved? No. Because there's two exercises of this faith. Their hands are free. They've done their part. It's like many times I stand in this pulpit and I try to preach a message and I get so frustrated sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. I get so frustrated. Because I'm afraid we've just turned a deaf ear. Do you understand? God's got something for all of us. And that we all have a responsibility. But see, the thing about it, after I preach it, I'm not responsible for it anymore. But it still gets frustrating. I think about these old boys. They could have got frustrated when they got to the door there. The house is packed. Jesus is in the house. The house is packed. If they'd have been most Baptists, they'd have set it down right there and said, well, I'll tell you what, we've got him this far. Maybe somebody after a while will get him on the rest of the way in. Oh, yeah. Well, it's 12 o'clock. It's time to go eat lunch. We'll just set him down. And if we get time, we'll come back after lunch and maybe get him on the rest of the way in. We've come to a time when our priorities have got all out of whack. We won't be late for a ball game, miss a ball game. Hey, man. Or a school function, or something that we want to do, something that we want to be involved in, we'll be there. Hey, man. I feel it tightening up real bad. I feel one of them frustrated. Are you seeing all this? You'll try it again next week? But they didn't get frustrated. They got him to Jesus. I want you to notice the power of faith. I know I got to soon close. Some of your belly's growling. I can hear it from here. That's Ronnie's. He'll be all right. I'll take care of Ronnie. Verse 5 of chapter number 2 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what Jesus is saying? You boys done your part. You got him here. Your faith got him here. You know what he's saying now? Man with the palsy, it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? Them old boys carried you in here. Them old boys faced all those obstacles, but yet, they didn't let nothing stop them. Now the question is, what are you going to do? The question this morning is, what are you going to do? We've got you here. What are you going to do about it? Now there's one thing about it. The man with the palsy couldn't pick up his bed and run. Right? At this point, Jesus has a pretty captive audience. Could you imagine the people in that house as they looked down and said, "What in the world is taking place? Get out of the way! There's somebody coming down through the roof!" And I believe they put him right in front of Jesus just like he lays. I didn't ask him to do that, but I believe he was placed right in front of Jesus. The power of faith, their power, got him there. But I want you to notice the power of faith that Jesus relays to the man with the palsy. We see, of course, the Pharisees and all the religious leaders were questioning Jesus as they always did. But I'm glad he didn't stop him. Hey, man! I'm glad he didn't stop him. I want you to notice, for the sake of time, look in verse 11. Notice the power of faith. Their faith got him here. Right? Amen. Jesus to the man with the palsy. "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house." That's the power of faith. He didn't sit there and say, but Jesus. The Bible says immediately, when Jesus told him to arise and take up his bed, the bed they carried him in there on was the bed he got up with and left that place rejoicing because he trusted. Now, I've got one simple question for the men that got personally involved, that got physically involved, and formed a partnership. Boys, was it worth it? Was it worth it, boys? Was it worth it to get your buddy, your family member, your friend, the man in the community that had a dilemma? Was it worth it getting him to this man called Jesus? Because you got to see your faith exercised. You got to see his faith exercised when he got up, took his bed, and went away rejoicing. That makes me want to shout. The same thing still works today. You mean, preacher, just the preaching and the presentation of the gospel will still get the job done? If it don't get it done, it won't get done. Too many times we try to take the part of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God's part. Listen, our job is just to do what God said do. Let God do the rest. Why? Because God can. And God will. Now, did that catch Jesus by surprise? Oh, no. He's God. Nothing to catch him off surprise. But see, he's given us an illustration and a story in which we can draw from and make personal application of in our own lives. I dare to say that every one of us in here this morning has got somebody we need to get to Jesus. And I would dare say this morning that we need to form a partnerships and work together, work in unity. I believe these old boys loved one another. I believe they loved that man enough to do what it would take. And I believe they love Jesus enough to get him there. The power of faith. I'm afraid our God has got so small sometimes that we don't have the faith that these men had if we could just get them to Jesus. Who can you save? You can't save anybody. Preacher can't save anybody. I've heard people say, well, that preacher saved me. Well, if that preacher saved you, friend, your salvation, you're in trouble. It ain't the preacher that saves you. It's not the church that saves you. It's not the person that might pray with you that saves you. It's that man called Jesus. And so I wonder today if, closing this service, if there's people here today that I've done all I know to do to get you to Jesus this morning, because He's the one who has to save you and redeem you. We've exercised faith. We've come in this morning faith believing in what we sing about, what we preach about, that God's going to take it and He's going to put it where it needs to go. Now my part's done. Now here's the question. Are you willing to exercise your portion of faith and say, I'm going to do what God's put in my heart to do? I'm going to trust Him today. Friend, it's up to you. If you're here today lost, you're in a dilemma, and your only hope is getting to that man named Jesus. And as Christians this morning, I wonder, are we really concerned enough that we'd be willing to get personally involved, to get physically involved, to form a partnership with one another, to pick somebody up that's in a dilemma and get them to Jesus? And we can sit here and stare at one another, or stare like a calf staring at a new gate, or we can pick up our part of the corner and go for God. These men had the thought, if we can just get him to Jesus. Folks, if we can just get him to Jesus, Jesus can do the rest. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Scotty, come give us a song of invitation. Thank you, men, for your participation. Thank you for your help. You can stand here. You can go back to your seats, whatever you want to do. What you got for us? 81. Father, now I've done all I know to do, what you put on my heart to do this morning. And Lord, I've done this by faith. Lord, trusting you, knowing that, Lord, that you have left us in your word everything we need to encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, correct us, and direct us. And Lord, I thank you for the story of the man with the palsy. And I thank you for these four men that were willing to overlook the obstacles, overlook the crowd, overlook all those that were no doubt heckling them and talking about them. But they just wanted to get him to Jesus. Now, Lord, in the invitation this morning, I pray first of all if there's somebody here today and have never trusted you as Savior. Lord, I've tried my best this morning through the preaching of the Word of God and through the wonderful songs. And Lord, we've tried to do our part to get them to you. Now, Lord, it's up to them. Holy Spirit of God, you'll have to knock on the heart and, Lord, they'll have to respond or either reject. I pray if there's anybody here today lost, that God, today they would respond. They could see just how simple it was, or is, as Jesus told the man with the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here in that dilemma, that God, you touch them and help them to step out by faith. Then, Lord, today for those of us that are saved, I pray that you would burden our heart, that we would be more concerned that we'd get personally involved and physically involved and form the partnerships. If we need to go out before us, carry our corner, that God, we do that. People are perishing all around us. God, I pray, give us a greater concern, a greater burden to see men, women, boys, and girls come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray, use the invitation this morning. In the stillness of this service, I feel the Spirit of God working and moving. And I pray we just be obedient. Thank you for loving us. And help us that we'd be about our Father's business. And help us this morning we'd be obedient, submissive. And to your work and to your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed for just a moment. Before we even play, before we even sing. Some folks here in the altar are already praying this morning. I wonder, would you like to come and pray as well? Lord, help me to do my part to get somebody to Jesus. Lord, help me to do my part. Lord, I want to get personally involved. I want to get physically involved. Somebody don't get them to Jesus. Somebody don't get them to Jesus. I can promise you they won't get any help. I wonder, would there be others that would want to come? I wonder if there'd be somebody here today. You're not saved. And you'd want to come forward right now and say, I need to be saved. Just come to me and tell me, and we'll take the Scriptures and we'll open the Word of God. Me and Brother Ken will take the Word of God and show you this morning what you need to do to be saved. Is God speaking to you? We've got you to Jesus. Now what are you going to do? Our faith has brought you to here. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to die in the dilemma that you're in, or are you going to do something about it? You're going to have to arise and take up your bed. Just as this man arose and took up his bed, he listened to the words of Jesus. Friend, would you do the same? Is he knocking on your heart's door right now? Oh, friend, don't die and perish in the dilemma that you're in. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Would you come to him this morning? Would you come right now in the stillness of this service? I wouldn't delay another minute. Young person, I want you to think about it if you're here this morning as people are praying. There's very possibly somebody in this altar this morning that's praying for you. You know what they're doing? They're bringing you to Jesus. And friend, they've brought you and they've brought you and they've brought you. But friend, it's up to you what you do with him. It's up to you what you do with him. I wonder, would there be one here today? Would you want to slip up that hand and say, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, Preacher. God sees that hand. Would there be another? Would there be another? Preacher, pray for me. Father, I love you today. I thank you again for the opportunity and the privilege to be in your house. And Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, how I failed you so many times. And Lord, I know I have. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for it. And Lord, to help me. And Lord, to help those that have come today. Lord, we're just mere mortals. This body of flesh is weak. And Lord, sometimes it's prideful. And sometimes it's even lazy when it comes to the things of God. I pray, Father, would you help us? Now, Lord, I'm not asking one individual that's come here on this altar this morning what they've got on their heart. But I truly believe today you've put upon our heart maybe a greater desire to do our part in grabbing our corner of that bed and getting somebody to Jesus. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd help us to reach outside these four walls, Lord, to our family and, Lord, to our friends and, Lord, to the people in this community. Lord, there's people in this community, no doubt, that thinks it. Nobody cares. Nobody loves them. Everybody's give up on them. And they're just waiting for somebody to come and get them and bring them to Jesus. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us to see the parallel in the story. Help us to see the dilemma that we were in. Somebody come and got us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody invited us and got us to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that this morning. Lord, help our faith to grow. Help our faith to prosper. Help our faith that we would put legs and shoe leather with that faith and go out and do our part to bring people to you. Thank you again for those that have come. Forgive us where we failed you. Lord, touch every need upon every heart. And every individual that's been placed upon this altar that's lost, God, I pray, help us, God, that we could reach them. Don't let them die. God, don't let them die in the dilemma that they're in. Help us that we might get them to you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Play softly for just a moment. Maybe there's somebody else as these folks are finishing up. I don't believe there's no need to sing. Somebody else needs to come just as you are. Thank you for your help, Storm Brother. Aren't you glad? We'll come just as we are. God can do a work in our heart and our life if we'll just come. Folks, I still believe God's big enough to do a work in people's lives if we can just get them there. If we can just get them there. Just another moment. We're done. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being a part of the worship service. I hope God has spoke to your heart.